إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah سبحانه in this life we talk about two different kinds of assets. We talk about appreciating assets and depreciating assets. Appreciating assets would be, and of course all this depends on market value and so on, but appreciating assets would be gold and silver. It would be in some cases, or most cases, it would be real estate, land, and things like that, which you buy at a certain price, and when you are ready to sell it or when you need to sell it, you can be reasonably certain that you will get a higher value for it than what you paid for it. And then of course there are depreciating assets. One of the biggest depreciating assets is money itself, cash, because cash loses value over time. So just keeping cash is a way of losing money, because cash loses value. It would also be other things that you buy and you collect. Almost all things that we buy which have status value, so to speak, almost all of them are depreciating assets, because when you want to sell it, you will never get the price that you paid for it. Whether this is expensive cars or whatever else, things like this which we buy and which we think will give us status, all of these actually we end up losing money, because we never get the price for it that we paid for it. In some cases the loss is very significant. The thing, however, the reason I'm talking about this is not to give you any lesson in accounting. The reason I'm doing this is because the same logic of appreciating and depreciating assets applies with respect to the final sale that we will all face. The final point where our real net worth will be assessed, and based on that net worth we will be assigned our places. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us in a place where that net worth where our net worth will be such. I ask Allah to give us the net worth which will put us in a place which is worth going to, which is Jannah. Now that final point of assessment of net worth, and the same logic applies in this world. You can, for example, collect a lot of things. You can have a property and, you know, works of art and so on and so forth. And if you have to sell, how many cases do we hear of people buying? Take the famous Van Gogh painting of sunflowers. When it was auctioned at Sotheby's, I think it was in 1980 something, it fetched a price of I think it was 24 million or 27 million pound sterling. But Sotheby's got it at what price? It was in somebody's attic. It was lying there. People didn't even know what it was and who had painted it and what the painting was. So how many times do we hear these stories of heirlooms, of paintings, of works of art, of collectibles that people have, and when they are ready to, they would have acquired them at whatever market price at that time, and then when they are ready to sell it, it has no value. No one wants to buy it because it has no value in the market at that time. And vice versa, you also find people who like this issue of this painting, where somebody found it in the attic, and then when it went to market, it sold at a huge price. Now the same thing applies when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There will be actions, and may Allah protect us from this. There will be actions, there will be pursuits in our lives. There would be things that we would have spent a fortune in terms of our time and energy and our focus throughout our lives on this particular item. But when we go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has absolutely no value, zero value. And not only does it have zero value, but it actually, in the case of the final net value assessment that will happen on the Day of Judgment, we will not only have appreciating and depreciating assets, we will also have liabilities which we got fooled into believing that they were assets. But the reality of that will become clear when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect us from that. And that's what I'm talking about. You would have spent a whole lifetime, hours and hours and hours, in a particular pursuit. And when you go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take account of every second of our lives, all those hours and hours and hours that we spent in pursuit of that particular activity will not only not be assets, but they will actually be liabilities for us. We will not only not get a value for it, we will actually have to pay for it in real terms. Now, take for example the whole focus today in the world on two things, on shopping and on sports. Now, sport as in game being played, meaning that you are playing that game, is an eminently useful thing. It's very good. It's good for health. For example, in football, not only is it very good for health because you're running around on the field and so on, so it's a good physical exercise. You also prepare for that, so it's good physical exercise in the gym and so on. Also, it teaches you enormous, wonderful lessons in team working, in leadership, in being caring and concerned about others, and so on and so forth. And the same thing applies to almost every team game. It teaches you strategy. Now, but the same football, sitting on a couch, popping popcorn or whatever, drinking sugared water in various colors, and watching it on a 60-inch flat-screen television is a 100% liability. Because all those hours that you're spending watching somebody else play the game does absolutely no good to you physically. The style of watching actually harms you, turns you into a fat, flabby freak, fit for no purpose. And on the other hand, all those hours you have to actually give account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, to say, what were you doing instead of doing something very much more useful? I mean, you could have been doing a number of things. I don't even want to list that, a number of things. But instead of that, you chose to spend all those hours and hours, and just think of, if you just calculate the number of hours that you and I don't do it, but I'm saying that those who do it, like right now, the World Cup that is happening in Brazil, the number of hours we spend watching that stuff. Remember, you are going to account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every second of that. So what is the answer that you are planning to give? Secondly, you are sitting and watching that game. May Allah protect us. Now it is Ramadan. How many of us are sitting and watching that game? And even if our fard salah is not missed, how many of us will leave a game at a very particular critical time and actually go and pray fard, especially if you have to go to the masjid for it, and so on and so forth. And in Ramadan, how much of time which would otherwise have been or should have been spent in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in doing useful things just goes in sitting in front of the TV screen watching football. And the same thing applies, of course, to cricket and so on and so forth. And what we fail to realize, what the millions of so-called fans Fan, incidentally, is short for fanatic, and that's a good word to describe those who are fans of anything. They are fanatics. They are crazy, because what they fail to realize is that the only people who benefit from spectator sports, which is the World Cup football, the ODI One Day National cricket, and so on, are the people who run those matches. They are the people who benefit. The people who benefit are the people who run the television. The cricket, ODI, One Day Internationals, and World Cup, and so on, is more about television than about football, because that is where the money is made. And of course, all of these sports are absolute huge gambling opportunities. They are big multi-billion-dollar syndicates that are run thanks to the game. The gambling industry got a huge boost. You don't have to go to Las Vegas or some other place or to a casino to gamble anymore. You can sit and watch football and you gamble. So, I mean, leaving all that aside, I'm just saying that I'm not saying that everyone watching football is gambling, but definitely you're spending all that time watching this completely silly game and getting absolutely no benefit. I mean, if you were playing that game, you would be physically fit, you would be somebody at least, who would be spending that time usefully. But just sitting and watching the game, you just get fat and flabby and nothing else. Now, point is that these, and I'm giving you just one example of football, because that's right now what's happening, and there's this whole fever about football. It's very interesting how the language constantly reminds us of the reality of things, but we don't listen to that. Just think about that. Why do you say fever of football? Why don't you say health of football? You say fever of football because fever is sickness. Fever is sickness. Why do you say retail therapy? Because you are sick. That's why you need therapy. Mentally sick. You are in the fever of football or whatever, fever of cricket. Because it's sickness, but we don't even we use the language, but we don't even think about about these words and say, well, why is someone saying fever? So really think about this and say that not only are we talking about appreciating and depreciating assets, but on the day of judgment when we stand before Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, you will also have liabilities which we got fooled into believing were assets. So here we have an activity which we do because we find it enjoyable. So, as far as we are concerned, it's an asset, and we fool ourselves and say, well, it's not haram, after all, I'm not watching pornography or something, I'm not watching Bollywood films, I'm only watching football, this is all fooling yourself, because yes, you're not watching pornography, so you're not in that kind of evil, but definitely you are completely and totally wasting your time, you're watching some absolute rubbish which does you no good. At the end of that hours of watching, if I tell you what did you learn about life and so on and so forth, you've got zero answer for any of that. And the amount of time you spend in that and so on is time that you will have to account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And of course, those of you who Allah has given you more money, instead of watching it on television, you actually spend the money to go to the stadium where the match is being played, and you buy those tickets and everything. Believe me, all of that is something that you will have to account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, the money that you spend to do these things. So seriously, let us take stock of our lives and say, what are the things that we need to do which will become not only assets but appreciating assets? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in Surah Al-Muzammil and many other places. In Surah Al-Muzammil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this, and he said, establish salah, pay zakat, and then give more charity. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his grace and majesty called this giving a qard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving a loan to Allah. Now imagine, how can you give a loan to Allah when Allah owns you and what you own? But this is the beauty of the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he encourages us to do good things. And he says, give me a loan. And he says, what you send forward before you, you will find it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a much better form. Because Allah does not return what we get exactly. Allah returns it in keeping with his majesty and grace. So we have these, now we have therefore this opportunity. We have the same 24 hours. Everybody's got the same 24 hours. What are you planning to do with that 24 hours? You want to spend it sitting like a moron in front of a television watching a stupid match? Or do you want to do something useful with that 24 hours, which will be an asset for you on the day of judgment? You have money, you want to spend that money buying junk, or do you want to spend that money investing in the paths of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, investing in yourself, investing in appreciating assets, because all of that money you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come back to you in a much, much better form. Finally, many people fool themselves with this thing to say, well, I'm also doing good things. You know, I'm also giving charity. I'm also doing something. Seriously, ask yourself, quite apart from the numbers of it, just ask yourself, do a profit and loss account statement. In the profit and loss account statement, profit side, you write down all the amount of money that you spend in charity. On the loss side, you write down all the amount of money that you spend in purely pandering to your nafs, pandering to your desires. I bet you the loss side will far exceed the profit side. Don't fool yourself. Do not fool yourself. This is absolute. It's not even a question of conceptualizing. It's just plain math. Just do it for yourself. Make a balance sheet in your assets. Write down all the stuff that you actually give in charity, what you spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. And on the liability side, write down all the stuff that you, all the money that you spend in purely pandering to your nafs, purely pandering to your desires. And you will see what you will see. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes before they are opened for us by Malakul Maut, so that we straighten our lives and we live lives which are a source of benefit for us and which will give us assets on the day of judgment, not liabilities. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا رحمة الله.